Sin is sin, ladies and gentlemen. Sin is sin. James 2:10 says, "Whoso keepeth the whole law, yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." All sin offends God, and all sin demands a righteous payment. For the wages of sin is death. But can we say this, ladies and gentlemen? Sins are different. Sin is sin, but sins are different and have different consequences. Go back to Proverbs and you read about if you stole from somebody, you were to repay that debt seven times. We read in Romans chapter 1, a terrible chapter of the judgment of God, particularly upon sexual sin, particularly among those, there are those in our country that would prop up a deviant lifestyle as being normal. God had said that sin comes with a particular consequence. It's no mystery to me why they can't find a cure for a dreaded disease that comes with a consequence. See, because, ladies and gentlemen, sin still has consequences. Take alcohol to your lips if you will, but the consequences cannot be prevented. Amen? By the way, I'm not for drinking. Amen? I hope you know that. Amen? Booze is wicked. Amen? But if you do take it to your mouth, you have to know the consequences. You have to know that your liver is going to give out very soon. Amen. If you take an illegal drug like cocaine and you snort it up your nose, know that you're doing irreparable damage to your heart. Those that have taken the sin of smoking and made it lightly, know that you're doing irreparable damage to your lungs. See, sin has consequences. Different sins have different consequences. Psalm 19:13 tells us about this. David talking about how he wanted his mind to be clean and pure, that he would be innocent from the great transgressions. So there are some that would say there are no big sins and little sins. Well, in society, folks, there are. You see, there's a lot of people in this room who commit little sins. And there's a lot of people right down the road behind the razor wire that committed some big sins. Amen? But we're all sinners, ladies and gentlemen. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I think where we get into trouble is when we start categorizing sin and comparing ourselves, making a sliding scale of sin, by the way, which always elevates other people's sins and minimizes our own sins. Amen? This is where Paul said, when we compare ourselves amongst ourselves, we are not wise. Why? Because God is the standard. God is the standard. The righteousness of God is the standard. We've entitled this series that we're starting this morning, The Little Foxes. The verse is found in Song of Solomon 2:15. It says, "Take ye the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vine." Do you know, ladies and gentlemen, that one little drop of water can't do very much all by itself. But you let it keep going. You let it keep going. It'll rot out a house wall. It'll make a house come down. One little termite can't do much by himself. But boy, you let them get together, and what happens to that tree? Rots out from the inside. And we're going to talk about, during these next 5 weeks, little sins. Quote unquote, little sins. By the way, there are no little sins. Amen? But these are ones that we've categorized as little sins. And the purpose here is that Proverbs 23:7 says this, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." Change your thoughts and you change your world. Change your thoughts. The idea here is to expose the largeness of little sins. You say, "Well, I don't commit sins that put me in the pen, so to speak." But I'm going to tell you something. Little sins are big in the eyes of God. They're big, amen. He has a lot to say about it. To keep us from the progression of sin, we'll talk about that in a little bit. But also to move us, ladies and gentlemen, as Christians, as believers in God, to repentance. You know what little sins need to be done? They need to be repented of. They need to be repented of before they become sins of the flesh. God help us to do that over these 5 weeks and on. Jesus taught, if you don't want to end up in the city of murder, then get off the highway of anger. Amen? Get off the highway of anger if you don't want to end at the city of murder. If you don't want to end at the city of sexual immorality, get off the highway of lust. Amen. I wish more people would learn that today. I wish homes wouldn't keep getting broken and broken and broken. Just take the teachings of Jesus here. He says, deal with these sins of the heart. Jesus taught that defilement in Matthew chapter 15. The Pharisees came and they said, hey, we got to talk to you. We got to talk to you. How come your disciples don't wash their hands before they eat? Do you know what he said? He said, you know what? You know where real defilement comes from? It comes from the heart. Out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications. And he went on and on and on. He told us that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. So over the next 5 Sundays, with the Lord's help and with your prayers, please. I know that I can't do anything up here unless you pray for me. I know that, amen. And I know many of you do. Please. Pray for me about these. We're going to deal with the 5 sins of pride, bitterness, criticism, discontentment, and fear. Over these next 5 Sundays, I want to encourage you to be in the house of God. Maybe even invite somebody. Pride, bitterness, criticism, discontentment, and fear. Starting today with pride. In our text here, we find, if you know your Bible, and many of you do know these Old Testament passages here in Isaiah 14, verses 1 through 3, you have the millennial prophecies of Israel coming back into the land and ruling, and then you have the judgment at the end of the tribulation, verses 4 through 6, and again you have millennium in verses 7 through 9, and then in verses 9 through 17 you have this final ruler that's cast into hell. And if you would, look at verse number 12. And we get introduced to somebody here. By the way, if you have a new version of the Bible, I would challenge you to look for what we're about to read in verse 12. It says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning?" Newer versions of the Bible mistranslate that, misquote it on purpose, by the way. Maybe not by their purpose, but by somebody else's purpose. And they call Lucifer is removed from there, and it says the morning star. I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Lucifer is supposed to be in there. The morning star is Jesus. It says here, "You're fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How art thou cut down to the ground? How didst thou weaken the nation?" Then we have verse 13 and 14 here. "For thou hast said in thine heart..." Here's Lucifer. Before he became Satan, amen, he was Lucifer. That great angel, that cherub that covereth. Some think in charge of the choir of heaven. I'm inclined to agree. But it says there, "For thou said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God," or the angels of God. "I will sit in the mount of the congregation in the sides of north. I will ascend to the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High." Where did sin start? What was the sin that caused the ruin of man? Was it murder? No. Was it immorality? No. Was it thievery? No. Was it insert any sin of the flesh that you would like? And the answer is no, no, no. 3 times, no. It was pride. It was pride. It was that a created being said, "I'm going to be God." And you know what? Not long after that, and I don't know when that happened, and neither does C.I. Schofield, and neither does anybody else. Not long after, the serpent that was more subtle than any beast came into the garden and said, "Yea, hath God said?" And then he said this, if you take of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, you'll be as gods. And he tempted Eve and Adam with pride to be like God. And man's been like God ever since, but not in a good way. Pride. We're talking about pride this morning. It was pride. Notice the five I wills of Satan or Lucifer here in verses 13 and 14. If you mark your Bible, it's a great place to mark. I will ascend into heaven, verse 13. I will exalt my throne above the stars, verse 13. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, verse 13. I will ascend into the heights of the cloud, verse 14. I will be like the Most High. Pride is the mother of all sins. It's the sin that gave birth to every other sin. What is pride, really? A simple definition of pride is an improper view of self. That's pride. An improper view of self. I want to give you just a few points today. 6 points and a lot of sub-points, Brother Hendershot, amen. 6 points and a lot of sub-points, amen. Number one, the start of pride. We see it right here. Number one, we've hit this, and I won't stay long here. But Satan says, I will, I will, I will, I will. That's the start of pride. Someone said, right in the middle of sin and right in the middle of pride is the letter I. And you start to thinking yourself above yourself. You start to thinking yourself above other people. And I'm telling you, pride is coming into your life. Someone said, when you get the heart attitude of I will, you follow the path of Satan. When you get the heart attitude of thy will, you get the path of Jesus. So the start of pride, we see it right here, originating in Lucifer's heart. Not only the start of pride, but I want to tell you this. Let me give you some of the scars of pride. Not only the start, but some scars of pride. Pride has scarred many a people. Pride turned Lucifer into Satan. Amen. Pride took King Uzziah to the end of his life. Pride made Nebuchadnezzar into a beast. In Daniel chapter 5. Pride took the kingdom from Belshazzar in Daniel chapter 5. Pride took the life of the rich fool in Luke chapter 12 when he said, I'm going to build bigger barns that I can bestow my goods and I can, I. And God said, thou fool, tonight thy soul shall be required of thee. You know what else? Pride killed Herod after he made a great speech in front of a lot of people in the book of Acts. Said he gave not the glory, and next thing you know, worms ate his flesh. You know what? Can I tell you this? Pride has scarred a lot of families. Pride. Pride has scarred a lot of families. You know, the Bible says, only by pride cometh contention. You know what's at the heart of every family fight? Pride. Pride. Somebody won't give in and won't compromise and won't... Pride. You know, pride has broken many a wedding band. Amen, church? Pride. Pride has hurt families. You know, can I say this, ladies and gentlemen? Pride has split many a church. Right down the center, amen? Pride. It's always through pride. Pride scars everything it touches. The start of pride. The scars of pride. Can I say this? The sinfulness of pride. The sinfulness of pride. You know, God gave us several lists. I have a great book in my office called Meredith's Big Book of Bible Lists. And so it's a great thing. I like to, as my children get older, it's a great thing if memorizing lists, talking about the 12 apostles, the 12 sons of Jacob, amen, the 10 commandments. It's got a bunch of those. Do you know there's 7 things that God hates in Proverbs chapter 6? Do you know what the first one is? A proud look. Every time, Brother Becker, I read of the Pharisees, I can see them in my mind's eye. With this look. Those flared nostrils, amen. Just their nose up in the air. They thought they were so much better than everybody else. Can I say this? Sadly, sadly, sometimes the people of God act the very same way. We think we're so much better because we don't do this and we don't do that and we don't do this and we don't do that. You know why we don't do any of that? The grace of God. Don't get proud. See, the sinfulness of pride is it's hated by God. We mentioned already, will not stay long. It brings strife. Proverbs 13:10. You know what else it does according to Psalms chapter 10 verse 4? Pride keeps men lost. Many a man will not, though the invitation comes, though they hold on to the pew, though their knuckles turn white, Brother Ken, they won't get saved. Why? Pride. Pride. Pride goeth before destruction. Amen? Pride. Pride. Proverbs 16:8. The start of pride, the scars of pride, the sinfulness of pride. How about the show of pride? God gives us a parable to show us what that show is. And it's in Luke chapter 18, verses 11 through 14. It's the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. The publicans, they were not a popular lot. See, a publican was a Jewish person assigned to collect Roman taxes from Jews. Not popular people. But the IRS has never been popular, even back in Bible days. Amen. Never been a popular person. I think maybe they did the same thing. I'm from the government and I'm here to help you. And that's about the time where you, amen, run right out the door. Amen. But this publican, see, he had a proper view of self. You read that parable. And you know what? I can read the five I wills of Lucifer right here, and I can read them again in the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. When he said, well, I give tithes. I go to the temple. And I, and I'm not like this publican. You know the publican? Bible says he wouldn't even lift his head to God. And he just said, be merciful to me, a sinner. And God said the publican went away justified more than the Pharisee. I want to talk to you about the show of pride. Jesus deals with that in Matthew chapter 6. He talks about the show of pride in giving. We mentioned that last week in our message and we'll not tarry long. But listen, don't let your motive for giving to be seen of men. That not ought to be our motive. If we do, it's just pride. That's all it is. It's just pride. Not only in giving in Matthew chapter 6, the show of pride, but in praying. He says, don't just pray out in public. Get in your closet and pray and seek God's face. Amen. Get alone with Him. If you're just praying out in public, it's just a show and it's pride. Amen. Then He deals with fasting. You know what? If I'm fasting, you ought not to know about it. Unless I ask you to fast with me. But you know, some people would be glad to let... And you go up to them and say, brother, what's wrong? I'm just fasting. I'm just so spiritual. He said, no, not supposed to do that. You're supposed to go wash your face. Nobody should know you're fasting but God. What's this? Pride. Want everybody to know I'm fasting. You know where a lot of that is? Folks that are my generation and younger, we see a lot of that on social media. Everybody wants to let everybody know exactly what they're doing. Amen? I'll tell you what. Listen, some things are supposed to be done in secret, and all God's people said. Let the left hand not know what the right hand doeth there. Something else there. You can see the show of pride in giving, praying, fasting, but also speaking. Here's that Pharisee. He was so impressed with himself. And that's the definition of pride. Just being so impressed with yourself that you don't realize who you are before God. The show of pride, the sinfulness of pride, the scars of pride, the start of pride. I want to talk to you about the separation of pride. Pride separates us from Christ, first of all. See, because God resisteth the proud. James 4:6 tells us. God is not interested in your pride. But by the way, He does know how to humble us. It'd be a whole lot better if we'd humble ourselves. Amen? Than to deal with the chastising hand of God. But separation of pride, it separates us from Christ. You know what else it does? Pride separates us from communion with God. See, Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And the only reason to regard iniquity in our heart is pride. It's pride that keeps us from coming to our knees and say, God, you're right and I'm wrong. Please forgive me. Why don't we do that more? Pride. And pride separates us from communion with God. And you know what else it does? It separates us from consecration. If a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth his own self. Galatians 6:3 tells us. It separates us from the conviction of the Word of God. You read Romans chapter 1. And by the way, we're still a church that believes Romans chapter 1. I don't care if a church hangs a rainbow flag out. We're not doing it. Because Romans 1 is still in the Bible. You want to cut that out of the Bible? Fine, help yourself. Find a new pastor, amen? Because I believe it, amen? And I know you do too. Romans 1:22 sums up pride. It's all about pride. It's all about man thinking he knows better than God. And you know what? God put this beautiful verse right in the middle of it. In chapter 1, verse 22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became... Why? Pride. Pride! It's pride when we think we know better than God in the way He set up things. Pride. Separates us from Christ, communion, consecration, conviction. It really separates us from contentment. Proud people are just never content. They've got this boiling cauldron around them at all times. Lastly, let me give you the sermon of pride. Not only the separation, the show, the sinfulness, the scars, the start. And that is basically where the rubber meets the road in this message. Application for us to take home and to chew on through the week. Number one. Realize pride is sneaky. Realize that pride is sneaky. You know why? Because listen, folks, it's a good thing to come to church. But it's a bad thing if you come to church and you're proud about, well, I don't do this, I'm in church. Some people are humble and proud of it. Amen? You know? They're so proud of their humility and their God. Listen, pride is sneaky. Satan will take you doing good things and you participating in good activities and this and that, and he'll sneak pride in there if you're not careful. Amen? If you're not careful and on the lookout. So realize that pride is sneaky and guard against it. But secondly, remember who you are. That's absolutely the best way to flee from pride. Remember who you are. I had the privilege yesterday. I had two folks that had visited last week. They sat right back there by Brother Mark and Brother Paul in the back row there. And they had visited. And we were trying to work out a time this week where I could come over and talk to them. And Lord worked it out yesterday. They came into my office at 12 o'clock. And to make a long story short, after about 35 minutes, they both bowed their head and prayed and trusted Christ. And that was just awesome. I mean, it was just all, they're 38 years old and 42 years old. Praise God. Amen. And we had the folks come last week and walk the aisle. But one of the things I do when I lead people to Christ, they look at me and they see Pastor. They see Pastor Rich. You folks look at me, you see Pastor. And that's not a bad thing. But I pull out my phone and I pull out that old picture I had from 1993 when I had hair down to here. And used to be in a rock band. You say, why do you have that, Pastor? You should forget about the past. No, it reminds me of exactly who I was when God saved me. And when I see that, Brother Lowell, I have no trouble realizing who I am. And God, please take away my pride. Help me not to be proud. Remember who you are. Realize that pride is sneaky. Remember who you are. Number three. Reflect upon who God is. See, this is the problem I have with the modern church movement. God's their buddy. He's the man upstairs. No, he's not. No, he's not. He is holy, righteous, almighty, all-powerful, just God. And we need to remember that. And when you start to remember that He created the world in 6 days by the word of His power, you realize that you shouldn't have any bit of pride. Paul said this, "But by the grace of God I am what I am." You know what that does? Banishes pride. There's no room for pride when God is on the throne. And you remember the story in Isaiah chapter 6 when Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up and he fell down at his feet and he was a sinful man, an unclean man of unclean lips in the midst of unclean people. Peter did the same thing when the Lord came and he said, "Cast your net on the right side." And he did it and he realized who was standing in front of him, God in the flesh. And he fell down at his feet and he said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." That'll keep you from pride. Seeing who God is. Remembering who God is. Realizing that pride is sneaky. Remember who you are. Reflect upon who God is. Here's something, folks. Request God's help. Request God's help. You know, if you've ever done anything in the Lord's work that you had a specific talent, it's easy to get proud. It's easy to get proud. I've been preaching for going on 17 years. I've had many kind people come up and say many kind things to me. If I'm not careful, I can be puffed up with pride. Listen, don't want it. It's always bad news. Amen. But if you realize that pride is sneaky and you remember who you are and you reflect on who God is, request God's help. Ask Him to help you. Ask Him. Say, "God, please help me to put You in Your place and to keep me down." Amen. Help me with pride. And by the way, these are messages, these five messages. I know this, we all struggle with it. You say, "Not me." You just admitted it. If you say, "No, not me, I never struggle with pride," you're proud. You're proud of your humility. Amen? And listen, we all struggle with this. We all struggle with this. Lastly, request God's help. Reflect on who God is. Remember who you are. Realize pride is sneaky. Remain humble. Remain humble. You know, as a pastor, I don't want to ask somebody to do something I'm not willing to do. Sometimes I do things, I'm not going to tell you what they are, around the house of God. Sometimes I do things just to keep me humble. Maybe picking up a paper. I don't want to walk by and say, "I'm too good to pick that up." Who do I think I am? I'm a wretched sinner who loves... Just pick it up. Fold a bulletin, amen. Stuff a bulletin, whatever. You name it, amen. Remain humble. Remain, just say, "You know what, God, I know you do not bless the proud. I know you bless the humble." We've got so many wonderful, humble servants in our church that just serve God, and only they and God know about it. That's an easy way to remain humble. Don't be in it for the show, amen. Hey, listen, the preeminence of pride. Listen, folks, pride goeth before destruction. And a haughty spirit before a fall. The start of pride, the scars of pride, the sinfulness of pride, the show of pride, the separation of pride, the sermon of pride. What's the sermon? Realize pride's sneaky. Remember who you are. Reflect on who God is. Request God's help and remain humble. You know what? Let's kick pride out this year. Let's kick pride out of our life. Let's kick pride out of our family. Let's kick pride out of our church. Amen. Let's just say goodbye to pride. Amen. Father, we love you.